Hi everyone, and welcome to episode one of VI Talk. My name is Joe, and I'm going to be one of your hosts for the coming months. And with me, I've got Michael. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Joe. Hi, everyone. And it's great to start our first episode of VI Talk after so many years in the planning.
It is. It's been almost 2 years since this idea first came into Michael's mind, and we've been talking about it ever since.
And things have just started in the last few months, and we're glad to bring this first episode to you. So what we'll do is just give you a quick email address. It's podcast@vitalk.co.uk. Get in touch with us and let's have your feedback.
Okay, so as we said, VI Talk was Michael's idea about 2 years ago when he first spoke to me about it. And we couldn't think of a name. So one of our friends, Julie Rodaway, credit to her, gave us the name VI Talk, which we liked. Michael registered everything and we were good to go.
Yeah, we were, but we just hadn't got on with it. You know, it's one of them ideas which you think, yeah, we'll do it. And then a few things happened in the last, say, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, and we thought it's time to go on. So we've launched the Facebook group and the page, which I know a lot of the listeners are already going to be involved in and actively having conversations. And one of the things what's really fantastic what's come out, especially on the group, which we didn't expect, did we, Jo?
No, we didn't. Everybody has started putting a short profile about themselves, which is causing a lot of interaction and people are getting to know each other. If you want to find the group and page on Facebook, you just need to search VI Talk. That's capital V, capital I, space, capital T, A-L-K.
And you'll also find us on Audioboo, which we're going to talk about later. And that is VI Talk Podcast. And also on Twitter, again, which is VI Talk Podcast. Because that was the original idea, wasn't it? To be a podcast and just be a podcast with a little bit of Facebook integration.
It was, but it's really grown. We're just doing so well. We've got about 115 likes on the page, and we've got, I think at the last count, 75 members on the group. We've also got a website, which is a work in progress at the moment, but as podcasts go on, or if you're on the Facebook group and page, we will let you know how that's doing and what you can access there. We're hoping to have loads of information, anything and everything to do with visual impairment.
And that is just vitalk.co.uk. So nice and easy to remember. And, you know, get involved, you know, drop us emails, drop us messages. You know, we want to try and build this up so it's really going to suit you, and the listeners and the readers can really get something out of it.
Yeah, VI Talk really is aimed towards anybody who is visually impaired, anybody who knows someone who's visually impaired, or anybody who has connections with an organisation or group that offers services or support to visually impaired people. And we'd like to highlight smaller charities and groups that don't necessarily get a lot of airtime or don't get the recognition that they really deserve.
That's it, because we're not affiliated to anything. We've obviously going to try and work with new partners and get people involved to provide us with a lot of information and provide you with information as well. Just watch this space, because we've got a brilliant project hopefully launching in the beginning of March. So I suppose we better tell a little bit about what we've been doing sort of podcasting wise and where sort of we've started working together has come from as well.
Yeah, is this the dreaded profile bit?
No, I suppose really our sort of where we started podcasting, because technically it's episode one, isn't it, of VI Talk, but it's our 25th podcast which we've produced.
It is. We originally, well, Michael is chairman of St Vincent's Old Pupils Association. We both attended St Vincent's School in Liverpool, which is specialist education. And I'm membership secretary. And Michael had the great idea, again, a couple of years ago, I suppose, of doing a podcast for the members of SVOPA.
It was, because we do twice yearly CD, and we wanted to take it further, you know, get hold of like past pupils and teachers and people, especially having a lot of VI people, you know, through the school being a specialist. Some people have gone on to some major careers, including people like Kevin Carey and Phil Longworth and Jim Moran, you know, who've had careers in music or you know, R&IB, different things. So we wanted to highlight some of that, and we just felt it was time to take some of the experience which we've learned and maybe some of the contacts we've learned to a wider audience.
Yeah, I mean, we've covered everything. We've got from parenting, which was really successful. We got a group of VI parents together to talk about their experiences and to offer sort of support and to say, yes, you can do it as a visually impaired person. You can be a parent if you want to be. We've had interviews with, as Michael said, we've had care staff from the school, teachers from the school. We've had the new head teacher from the school, Dr. John Patterson. And we just thought, you know, what a good idea to, it was so successful, what a good idea to take it further and to include a wider audience and to kind of get the VI community together and talking and communicating.
And if there are any, I mean, we might as well say it now as well, if there are any people from St. Vincent's, because the end of that is our other work which we do, listening to this who aren't involved with us, you know, please do check us out, www.svopa.co.uk, and join us on Facebook and Twitter and everything else as well. Well, I suppose we've told you quite a bit about ourselves and what we do sort of at the moment, but it'd be nice to, you know, maybe not for you having to listen, but, you know, gives people an idea of a little bit about ourselves and sort of our backgrounds. So, as we said, I went to St. Vincent's. I was there from being 6 up to 17. So I was in specialist education. And then I went mainstream. I got that sense during the last year that I didn't want to stay in the VI sort of education system. Was it the right decision? Was it the wrong one? Well, you can't really say, can you? So I went to mainstream college, and to be fair, I actually left the visual impairment world completely. I had nothing to do with anything, with school, with any organisation, had a couple of friends, but that was literally it until 2007, and I went back to one of our reunions at school, and then just got involved, started being involved there, and then got involved more with the R&IB side of things. I'm a national rep for the Northwest, so any of our Northwest guys, hi. And I'm also on the board of our local society, which is Sight Support Oldham, and also part of the committee for our talking newspaper. So I'm quite busy there within the VI world. I do a lot of messing around on the computer, surfing. I love music, play a number of instruments. And I've probably missed some things out, which I might pop in a moment. So I'm going to hand over to you, Jo.
Okay, so, well, you know, I'm Jo. I was born with a sight problem, which has as yet remained undiagnosed. So I am unique. I started specialist education at the age of 5. I went to a school for the partially sighted. And then at the age of 12, my sight was deteriorating. So I went to St. Vincent's, where I learnt Braille and some long cane skills, amongst other things. I stayed in specialist education until the age of 19, because I went on to RNC in Hereford and lost the remaining part of my sight in my late teens. I'm married to Rob. He's fully sighted, and we have an 11-year-old daughter who is also fully sighted. You may tell from my accent that originally I am from the north of England, but for the past 2 years I've been living in Teignmouth in Devon. I'm about a 10-minute walk from the sea, and you can't beat it. I am a qualified complementary therapist, but I've never done it for a job. I'm an avid reader. I love it. I'm never happier than when I've got an audiobook on the go. Not recently, but in the past, have played musical instruments, the organ, saxophone, oboe.
Guide dog owner.
I am. I'm a guide dog owner. I'm on the waiting list for my third guide dog, but I still have my retired guide dog, Bonnie, with me. And we also have two cats, just to make the menagerie complete. I run the Braille Support Group on Facebook. If anybody wants to join that, just search Braille Support Group. I'm an admin on SVOPA and membership secretary on the committee there. Obviously, I'm an admin on the VI Talk group and page. What else do you need to know about me? I haven't a clue.
I think they know quite a lot there anyway. And I suppose I better mention as well, yeah, because Karen will have my guts for gardens. I've been married for 21 years to Karen, and she's fully sighted as well. And I've got a guide dog called Tommy, who's my first dog. And just a little bit of thing on that as well, with dogs and canes and all sorts of, you know, the different mobility things. I knew getting a guide dog would actually make a big difference, and you were absolutely instrumental in that, weren't you, Joe, in talking. And yeah, I want to say to people, it might be it's a life-changing decision. And when I was looking for getting a dog, I could, if necessary, I could manage. And I think so many of us think to ourselves, we can manage and we can get on. And I wouldn't use a cane unless I was away from home and things like that. And I found the biggest step I had was that being a blind person, going from someone who could get away with it to having a dog where you can't avoid the fact you can't see. And yes, it was hard, and I would say that to anyone. It's not always the easiest thing, but just sometimes grab the bull by the horns. If you need a cane, you need to use something or a dog, it's maybe the right thing for you, and just don't hold back.
Yeah, I think it's all about choice, isn't it? And it is making that right decision for you. And one of the things that I said to Michael all those years ago, no, it's not that long ago, was don't let anybody persuade you one way or the other. It's got to be your decision.
And, you know, that's what VI Talk is about as well, isn't it? People talking, people discussing, and what suits one person does not suit everyone. And that's the beauty of it. You know, we can get ideas, and some great discussions been going on about all sorts of mobility and things, and on the pages and the group. And people will benefit from it. Some people won't. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's just get involved and just discuss whatever is current at the time.
I think one of the things that we initially wanted to do with VI Talk, but not till further down the line, was to sort of try and bridge the gap between the VI community and their sighted counterparts. And without actually intending doing it, the group on Facebook is managing to do that, because we have a lot of fully sighted parents with visually impaired children. And because of the mainstream integration system at the moment, those children can be quite isolated, and groups like VI Talk are giving the parents the opportunity to gain support from perhaps people who've been through specialist education or people who've lived with sight loss all their lives. And it's really working very well to bridge that gap a little bit.
It is. So that's a little bit about us. Obviously, ask us questions, podcast@vitalk.co.uk. And you'll see Michael Allen and Joe Fishwick on Facebook as well. So, you know, feel free to message us, and you can always send your messages via Twitter or whichever way is best for yourselves, or Audio Boo. And like I said, we are on Audio Boo at VI Talk Podcasting. Well, after all that talking, Joe, what do you think? Is it time for a coffee break?
I think it is. So we've got a musical interlude for you. One of the things that we want to feature each month, if we can, is a musician, singer, instrumentalist, who is visually impaired. So if you are one of those people, please get in touch, because we would love to feature you. So now we have our musical interlude.
Our first musician and singer who's going to appear on the podcast this time is Rebecca. I've known Rebecca for quite a while. She lives locally in Oldham, and she's going to introduce the song which we're going to play.
This song is called Best Memory, and it's about a crush that I had on a fellow musician when I was at school.
Right, and you've just said you've got a CD available as well, which you've just produced.
I have a CD of 11 songs. It's available on request. Just contact the podcast and they'll pass on my email address.
I'm not sure.
Thanks very much, Rebecca. It was wonderful to hear your song and good to talk to you. If you do want to get a hold of Rebecca's CD, just drop us an email at podcast@vitalk.co.uk and we can pass your details on and we can make that so for you. Well, what we want to do is let you meet some of the other people who are involved in the VI Talk project. So I'm going to start with Tanya. So hi, Tanya.
Hiya.
And Tanya's been really helpful in giving us some ideas and giving us some feedback on some of the things we've been doing. And would you like to just sort of introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Tanya, as like Mike said, and I was born visually impaired and I was a rebella baby. And I went to boarding school, specialist school through till my late teens, and then I went to RNC in 1990-91, and then I had various jobs including factories, offices there, and then I spent the last 13 years in a media business which sadly went into administration. So yeah, I've worked in both public and private sectors, and I've done a bit of voluntary work as well. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
Right, so I know some of the things you've been doing, which is part of your last job, you know, a lot of research sort of positions.
And, yes, and yeah, that's out, right.
That's one of the things you, depending on certain subjects, which we do, you yeah. probably get us the background information and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, because I worked in the media business, it's very useful for this kind of thing that we're doing here because, you know, we've got to know how we want to function and flow and there's things that I've learnt from the media business that I can bring to the table for to make this, you know, really successful. I mean, want this to really take off, and it is already, and we're really happy about it. And you know, yeah.
So just sort of thinking as well, give people an idea a bit more about yourself. So what do you like to do sort of in your spare time?
I like reading. I love listening to podcasts, like some of the comedy ones and lots, you know, sort of scientific sort of things like medical ones and All in the Mind and lots of podcast magazines. I like spending time with my friends and family and socialising, and, you know, that's the kind of thing I enjoy doing, really. Yeah, and if I liked sports, if any, it would be swimming. And I've done a bit of blind tennis as well, so...
Thanks a lot, Tanya.
Okay.
I'm going to just hand over to Joe.
Okay, so we've got another member of the team here, and that's Ian Beverley. So, Ian, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, thanks, Joe. My name's Ian. I currently live in West Yorkshire. I'm 40-ish. well, my background is I've been visually impaired since birth, although I was partially sighted up to the age of around 14. I hate to use the word special schools because they were used in them days, but I went away to school for about similar sort of time as Tanya, up to about the age of 18. I then went on eventually to university and then qualified as a teacher and taught in further education, specialist further education, for about 8 years. I've also done things like project management. I've done plenty of voluntary work, and my current work does surround technology and teaching and training, assessing people with technology.
Okay, so do you want to tell us a little bit about what you do in your spare time, if you get any spare time?
Oh, I do. I get spare time. It's always good to kind of separate that from work. It's good. I like reading a lot. I'm very interested in sport as well, football especially. I also like, you know, so, as I say, spending time away from work with my wife Elaine. So that's really important time for me. We also like going away as well.
And you're a guide dog owner as well, aren't you, Ian?
I am. I should have mentioned that. Yes, that's kind of an omission, but yeah, I'm a guide dog owner on my fifth dog, who's Evans.
Okay, and what are you? I know you've mentioned technology and sports, so they're two big areas that you're going to be contributing to.
It kind of brings a clue, doesn't it, into
what
I'm going to be bringing into the podcast.
You were a Paralympian, weren't you?
Yes, in gold. back in the year 2000. Shows how time goes very, very quickly. But yeah, I went to Sydney with the Great Britain Gold Ball squad back then, quite some time ago. Still paying for it as well with all the aches and pains, but there we go. But yeah, now I've been talking about sport. I mean, technology is my job, and sort of we're working life, but also sport's a great interest. So hopefully I will bring some things into the podcast with sport, and hopefully bring up some areas of interest and areas of interest to people listening. Yeah, but obviously the main thing what we're going to be wanting is feedback on the things that we will be bringing up. We want suggestions, we want ideas of what people would like to hear.
Thanks very much to Ian and Tanya. You will see them on the group. You'll probably see them around on the page and posting on the blog as well when that's all up and running. And you'll obviously hear them on upcoming podcasts as well. One of the things we've found really works with our SVLPA work is local meetups and events. We've arranged a few weekend breaks and we have regular Saturday get-togethers. Tends to be in the Northwest just because a lot of our people are based around there. But we decided, seeing as a couple of the team are down in Tynmouth and Joe's already there, on the 8th of March, we're going to do a meetup with Ian and Joe, who's going to organise it.
Yeah, so I decided that the best place to do it was the Clifden Hotel, which for anyone who doesn't know is one of the Vision Hotels. So it's a specialist hotel that caters for visually impaired people. If you've got a guide dog, there are runs for your dogs to use and everything. So we're going to meet on the 8th of March at around 12. But, you know, that's not to say if you can't make it for that time, you know, feel free to come along and join us later. And I've been asked when we're going to finish, and I've basically said when the last person leaves. But as Ian and his lovely wife, Elaine, are staying at the hotel, they'll be there all night. So stay as long as you want, really. But we've already got quite a lot of interest, which is brilliant. Quite a few people coming along, and we'd love it if you could join us. It's just going to be really informal, just a chance for people to get together and meet socially and have a chat and, you know, do a bit of networking maybe. The hotel has a licensed bar, and you can buy lunch there as well. So if you can make it, would love to see you. So, you know, drop us a message if you could make it, podcast@vitalk.co.uk.
Yeah, and so, I mean, especially if you live in that sort of area, it's mainly aimed at the sort of the southwest, isn't it? As long as there's public transport there with all the weather you've had. But, you know, it's your Devon, your sort of into Cornwall, that sort of area. And anyone who's visiting the hotel for that weekend anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you need directions to help you get to the hotel, then just get in touch with me. You can find me on the group or the page on Facebook, or, you know, send me a message personally if that's easier. I'm Jo Fishwick on Facebook. Or you can send me a message on Audioboo if an audio message is easier. We've actually got, Elena staying there, but there's a lady coming in from Hampshire and she's going to stay over for a couple of nights at the hotel as well. So that's not to say, you know, you can't stay, make a weekend of it if you want to. But generally speaking, I think it's going to be people who live locally.
Hello folks, have you ever been in a situation where you need to use your phone but your battery's dead and you've got no way of going to a mains outlet to charge it and you really need to use it? Whilst there are battery pack juice packs that can charge your USB type devices on the go without you having to access a mains, up until now there hasn't been one that talks, but that has been rectified now, and the device that I am talking about today is called the MyPeaks 6000 USB talking battery charger. It's made by a company in America. Now on the device there are four USB type compartments, and Each compartment has a cable attached, which you can't remove. They are attached by inbuilt cables. On the front of the device, there is an iPhone 4 type adapter, but you can attach a lightning pin should you so wish if you got an iPhone 5 or 5S. There is an American type adapter, which is no use to us. There is a micro USB adapter. Plus there is a socket that's empty. It's a USB empty socket in which you can insert any USB device that you need to charge. When you get the device, by default, the voice is US female English. You can't alter it. You can alter its volume, which is very quiet, but it's very difficult to do. You need a very fine pin or pen to actually get at the settings. It's very, very difficult to do. The only other thing I need to tell you about is a square button on the right-hand side, which when pressed will tell you the status of the battery within the device itself. I'm just going to press it now so you can see what happens.
Battery is full.
Okay, so it's told me the battery is full in the device, which is absolutely fine. Now, I have in front of me an iPad mini, and I'm going to input the plug into the empty USB device, and this is what you'll hear.
Power on, charging USB device.
Charging device battery, 80%. Image, 925.
So that's about it, folks. So that's the MyPeaks 6000 talking USB battery charger. You can get it over here now from a company, Computer Room Services. Steve Nutt is in charge of that. And he can be contacted at 77 Exeter Road, Stevenage, Herts. I don't have their telephone number to hand, but I'm sure 195 or a search on the web from Computer Room Services will get you that. And I think the cost over here is £60.
Thanks, Julie, for sending in your product review. It's an interesting product, the talking battery charger. I was looking at it the other week at Pat and Julie's house. So if you did want to get hold of one, they are available through Computer Room Services, and they can be contacted on 01438 742 286. And it does cost £60. One of the things which you will probably need to use it in the UK is a US to UK adapter to charge it. In a normal wall socket, it does have a US plug on it because it's a US product, but you can charge it from any USB port on your computer as well. But thanks very much, Julie, and we look forward to lots more reviews coming up in the future.
Okay, so another section that we want to feature every month, if we get enough content, is our mailbag, and also blind bloopers, you know, that kind of did I really do that kind of thing that all us VIs go through. And we've had one for this month from Jenny Newman, and Michael's going to tell you what she had to say.
Yeah, it was just one of the things which we always do. I mean, I've done it a few times, and one of the things she's done and she wanted to tell us about was sending text messages to the wrong person, which most of the time you can get away with it, but there are times when it's not a good idea.
Thanks, Jenny, for that. If you want to get in touch with anything, you know, did I do that? Or just generally mailbag, you know, if you want to say anything on the podcast, you know, we're happy to read it out for you. Or if you want to send us an audio, we can put that on the podcast for you, podcast@vitalk.co.uk.
Okay, well, we've come to the end of episode one of the VI Talk podcast. And so it was great just to sit and to talk to you, and hope you enjoyed hearing and we didn't bore you too much.
No, it's been really good, and we're breathing a sigh of relief that we've got to the end of episode one without too many hiccups. But all that remains really is for us to give you the contact details, and hopefully you will get in touch and let us have your input, feedback, things that perhaps you'd like to see us feature on the podcast over the coming months.
As we've said throughout the podcast email address is podcast@vitalk.co.uk.
You can find us on Facebook by searching VI Talk.
And on Twitter and Audioboo, it's VI Talk Podcast.
And our website, which is a work in progress as yet, is www.vitalk.co.uk.
So do get in touch. Some of the things we'd like to hear from you are things like the mailbag, I Can't Believe I Did That, which is our blind bloopers, and maybe some reviews of products and services as well, good and bad services. And like we said, we'd like to feature local small organisations, local groups, local charities, things like that, who don't always get that shout out. So we'd like to do that as well.
Yeah, so definitely get in touch. We would love to hear from you, because this is your podcast. It's not just us rambling on every month. We really want your input and feedback. So please, please, please get in touch and make this work.
So thanks very much, then, Jo. It's been good fun working with you again. And until next time, we'll see you all soon.
Yep.
Bye.